Hey everybody, my name is Nick. I'm an alcoholic.
Amen.
And tonight we're going to be doing steps 7, 8, and 9. I was thinking on the way over here, 7, 8, and 9. You know, but it's my experience. I didn't have to look anything up. I just had to share my experience. And where we left off last week, you know, we're talking about step 6, becoming willing to have God remove these defects of character. Like I had said before, after doing that work in 5, I was willing to make the change. I was willing to have God remove these defects of character without reservation. I didn't think that it was just, I don't know, I to be honest with you guys, I got on my knees. I was in my apartment. I shut all the lights off. I was about to say the 7-step prayer. The big book on the bed opened up to the page. And, I started speaking from my head, and it went to my heart. And at that moment, I had realized that there was a change about to happen in my life. There was a lot of changes going on in my life, but all outside changes, outside stuff, outside disturbances, if you want to call it. I was about to be a father, didn't know if I was going to live with the woman, marry the woman, be with the woman, if I was ever going to see my son, if foster care was going to... I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what... you know, was going on in my life. I set that all aside. It wasn't about that at the moment. It was about to remove the things that blocked me from God in order for me to have a spiritual experience. And the list was long, you know. Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-seeking, those just pretty much touched the surface. There was some inside stuff. There was some deep stuff. Like I was told from my sponsor, he said I did a pretty thorough job, you know. I got down to really the causes and conditions, the flaws of my makeup, just like the book says. And I started to realize that this power greater than myself was about to take these away, and I believed it deep down in my heart. I sat on the edge of that bed, and the tears started to roll. The tears started to come out, and I felt that hand of God touch me at that moment and didn't know what that was all about. Just embraced it, you know. Didn't fight it, didn't question it. Didn't think, well, what does God mean to me? And no, it wasn't about any of that. It was about this moment. I'm getting nearer to my Creator. And in that 7-step prayer, it says, my Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you take away every single defect of character, every single one that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength and go out from here to do your bidding. And I realized what I was about to do here. I was about to do God's work. I was about to set aside all those things and those parts of self that block me, that create all the troubles in my life. I came to realization after doing the steps, getting to this point, that this person that came in, you know, alcohol wasn't even that issue. It was gone out of my head. This was about me at this point. This was about self. This is about me going out and doing God's work at this point. But there's more work that had to be done, you know. If you look in the big book, it's like 2 little paragraphs. But for those 2 little paragraphs, it speaks volumes of what, even today, what my life is. Because character defects, even though at that moment, I felt pure as the driven snow. I asked God to remove every single defect of character. I walked on water at that point. I felt like, you know, that's, you know, I this is it, man. You know, they're gone. This is the new me. I'm going to stand up from my knees, and I'm about to go out and tackle the world. And it didn't take long before a character defect popped right back up. And, you know, it didn't waste much time. It's like, no, you don't understand. You know, don't you know? They've been taken away from me. But, you know, God is works in mysterious ways, they say. So, you know, they come up. And but I did. I tried to practice these things. I try to practice, when I say practice these things, not only by now, I'm really inviting God into my life on a daily basis throughout my journey. And what I mean by journey is life stuff, you know. Going to work, meeting other people that, guess what, the night before, they didn't remove their defects of character. They didn't get on their knees and have God remove them. I'm in construction. It's not exactly a, you know, spiritual growth place. So I had to walk into this with that attitude, and people started to see the change, you know, the change in me. Like I said, I was going through a really rough time with the whole baby thing, not knowing what's going to happen, with the mother and me, and really struggling with that at that time. And my sponsor thought it would be a good idea that I get away. And if a sponsor asks you that you're going to go away, you're probably going on a spiritual retreat, you know. My sponsor, you know, wasn't like, you know, oh, we're going to go, you know, go have fun and this and that, go to an island. It was, you're gonna go on a spiritual retreat. And that's what he did. He took me on this retreat. And while we're on the retreat, he says, now it's time, you know, this would be a good time, Nick, because you're having a close relationship with God, to have, to do your 8-step list. You know, and in the big book it says we made the list when we did our inventory and so on and so forth. But I made a separate list, you know. I listed all the people that I needed to make amends to, and he made it easy for me. He broke it up into these three parts, you know, easy, hard, easy, medium, hard, or now, never, forever. You're never going to look at these, all this other stuff, and, you know. But what was funny was we went on this retreat, and show you guys real quick. I'm Greek Orthodox. My Easter hasn't come yet. I don't know when it's coming. It's actually this Sunday, right? It's this Sunday. But because of that, I go on this spiritual retreat with my sponsor, and it's this Catholic thing, you know? And I'm feeling really out of place. Not like I'm some sort of alien, but I'm starting to feel like, you know, they're going up for communion, and I'm told I'm not supposed to get communion from a Catholic. I don't know the rules. And this is what's going through my head. And then came this moment. And they talk about it in the big book as a spiritual experience. So I'm having a spiritual awakening going through these steps. But now I'm about to have a spiritual awakening. I mean spiritual experience, sorry. And I don't know what it's all about. I'm not planning on it. It wasn't something I planned on doing. But like I said, my head's thinking I'm Greek Orthodox. This is some kind of Catholic retreat and God and this and that. And I don't know. And what happened was the lights were dimmed. I was in a room full of recovered alcoholics. And there was one light on the God of my understanding. And I just stared at it for a moment. And I don't know what happened. My body started to shiver, started to quake, and the tears started to roll, and I started bawling. And I don't know why. Maybe I was thinking, you know, where I was before and where I am at this point, where I was at that moment. And my sponsor's just put his arm around me. He's like, "You okay?" I'm like, "No, I don't know what's going on." He knew. He says, "I know what's going on. I understand." And I went back into our room. We shared a room together. And I went back into that room, and he shut the door. He says, "I'll let you be alone for a while." I said, "I think that's a good idea." You know, and I was just floored. At that moment, I had realized what had happened. I'd been touched again by God. And also at that moment, that any thoughts of obsessions, any thoughts of drinking, any thoughts of that, gone, goodbye, disappeared. And I went on, after I finished, I went on to make this list, you know. And it's funny because, I don't know, I go to a lot of step meetings and, you know, you make a list of these people and you make amends to them and you become willing. And I'm going, okay, great. It's just after doing the fifth step, a list seemed real cool to do, you know. I was like, oh, good, just a list. I could do this. More than willing, I sat down at the desk. We had no room. Before I got this piece of paper and a pen again. And it's just a list, Nick, you know. And then I'm putting the names down. This is the problem, what happened to me. My experience is that I'm putting the names down on the list, and those are people in my life. That's mom. It's dad. It's my brothers. It's all the people I've affected with my alcoholism, my addiction, and the damage that I've done to them. And I'm just staring at them. I'm thinking, this is not just a list. It's not like a grocery list. These are people. These are real people in my life. These are people that I've harmed. These are people that I've hurt. And I'm just staring at it. And I got it breaking down. There's three columns I'm trying to figure out. And then I asked God to leave him there. You know, leave this list there. You know. And we're about to, you know, become willing to make amends to these people that I've harmed. Because those names were in my head, and I remember throughout that weekend being on that retreat with my sponsor, just, you know, asking God to help me have the willingness to do these amends, to make these amends, to be able to look these people in the eye and make direct amends to those people I had harmed. And after the weekend was over, I was about to roll, because I was, like, on the spiritual high. Like I said, I had this spiritual experience, and now is about to go home to my family and to look these people in the eye. And now, when is that moment to make that amends? What am I about to do? Well, I figured I had, and the easy sheet, I had, you know, mom, grandmother. The easiest amends I've ever made. I know I'm getting into the amends process. It's really hard talking about 8, not talking about 9, and 6, and 7. But I go home, and I'm kind of fired up about making these amends. I want to fired up because I want to get into steps 10, 11, 12. I want to get all these things in my life and start living this way of life. So I got this easy list, the easy side of the list. I get those out of the way right away, you know. Those will be the easy ones. Ex-wife is on the hard one, you know, names like that. But it was funny, I did what I thought was easy. Mom. Make amends to mom. Mom will understand. She knows what I'm going through. She knows what I've been through this whole time. She knows what I'm going through. I said to her, I said, Mom, do me a favor. I want to get together with you. Let's do lunch. She's like, okay. I got some things I want to talk about with you. And I sat down at this table, and I had to look my mother across right directly in the eye, and I'm about to make this amends to her. Now, before I make the amends, I followed directions that was given to me by my sponsor. Call him first. I called him first. I told him what I was about to do. I asked God, first and foremost, to be with me. Not only just give me the willingness, give me the strength, give me the guidance to what I'm about to do, and speak from the heart. You know, I too much of my life has been up in my head. This was time to be right here. God is right here in my life, not up here. But he goes up there once in a while. Like, you know, he's like, yeah, the prayer. And that's what I did. And then I sat and looked my mother straight across the eye, and I was like, blah, blah, blah. Just came out. This is my mother I've been living with all my life. But I've been in contact with all my life, and now I'm about to make amends to her, and I'm stumbling with my words. I can't speak to her. And I take a minute, I pause, I close my eyes, again asking God for the guidance, and I start to tell her. And I start to say to her, Mom, all these years that I've, the times I was missing, and I explain them. And then I give my mother the opportunity. I go 3 minutes, I give her the opportunity to share with me, is there anything you'd like to be free from? Because I'm trying to be free, but it's not just about me. Because that defeats the whole purpose of this thing I'm trying to do here. Selfish and self-centeredness is the root of my troubles. And I'm thinking only of myself making this amends? No. What about the other person? The other person that I affected. What about relieving them, letting them be free of things that they may have been holding on to for years? So I give it that opportunity. And of course, like, I don't know, most mothers would say, you know, just stay sober, you know. Okay. You know, I was like, okay, I'll do that, you know. And, you know, I smiled. You're doing good, you know. Stick with that guy, Jeff. He's good. I was like, all right. And that's what I did. And then I went on to make some more amends to brothers and stuff like that. Each one took on its own form. But it was all based on God. It was all based on, not, like I said, not being selfish in the amends process, letting that person get off their chest, letting that person be free. And then came my ex-wife. Then that was a little tricky. That was one of the hard ones. I was married 10 years. I was married from the age of 20 to 30. And that was a hard one. Because my ex-wife, I found out through the grapevine, was about to get married. And how would that look if I came knocking on the door? Hi, it's me. I'm the ex-husband. I came to say I'm sorry, you know, make amends. Can we just talk in a room alone? You can sit out here. No, that wouldn't go over too well. You know, make direct amends, you know. When to do so would harm, you know, others. And I wasn't looking to harm anybody else with that. So it was suggested to me, see if you could reach out indiscreetly. And I did. Through a text message, and would you mind just, if you can give me like a few minutes of your time? She said, sure, and then we met up. What was funny, though, is when I was with my wife, I married her. She was like a size 4. When I divorced her, she was like a size 26. And I went to make amends. She was back to a size 4 again. I go, I said, oh, great, you look great. And I'm sitting there looking at her. I'm going, that's not why you're here. That's why... That's why it's That's why it's so, so important to make these amends in a public place. Again, that's why I run things by my sponsor. I said to my sponsor, where should I meet her? He's like, in a public place. And I met her in a public place, and it went very well. You know, I didn't have, I to be honest with you, I didn't have any of the amends. I made quite a few amends, and I didn't have any of the amends where I had someone say, F you, I never want to see you again, and slam a door in my face. I've heard stories about that. My sponsors had stories about that. And I was pretty, got to be honest, I was, I don't want to say lucky. You know, there people do have experiences like that, but I didn't. But I tell you one thing, God works, again, in my life in mysterious ways, in a lot of people's lives, I'm sure. I got a call one day. He said, Nick, you got to go to Jacob Javits Center. The car show's in. You're going to work 450 hours straight through the night and all this other stuff. I said, yeah, no problem. I went in there, and I saw this guy I knew, and I says, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you in forever. The last time I saw this guy was my last run before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. We went out for a few drinks by JFK Airport. I disappeared for 3 days. Now, that was the last I saw of him until the Javits Center, until I went to work over at the Javits Center. And what had happened was, he was in the back room. He goes, Ed, I remember that night. I go, what night? He goes, I remember. He says, I remember that night you were, you know, you went on your little run there. You know, I went back to my home in Long Island because he lived way out here in Long Island somewhere. And he said, you know, I got a phone call that you were missing and I was worried and I was having dinner with my family and I got up and left and went to go look for you. And the AA, that little, you know, that signal goes, dee, 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 you owe him an amends. But I want to run it by my sponsor for it. I'm like, so I break away from him, and I'm listening to him tell me his story, how he ran looking for me, made phone calls, didn't get home, back home to his family, for like hours later in the middle of the night. And I said, wow. And I walked away, and I called my sponsor right away, and I told him what had happened. He's like, you're damn right, you got to make amends to him. I was like, all right. I kind of figured that, but I wanted to hear from you. You know, because we're not in any rush to make those amends. It was a very humbling experience. I cannot make amends unless I have God. That's my thing. I'm too scared. I'm a scared little child to walk up to somebody and clear away the wreckage of my past just like that. Look them right in the eye. No problem. I'm not like that. I like to say, you know, I'm not. I need God. I need God, you know, and good sponsorship. So I called him up. And anyway, he tells me you need to make amends to this guy. And I said to him, okay, let's... I pull him into one of the supply rooms, and I start saying to him, you know, I just want to apologize for, I'm so sorry that that happened to you, that I created that, and so on and so forth. And I said, if there's anything I could do to make it better, you know, if there's anything I could do to straighten up the past. And he looked at me and said the same thing my mother said, just stay sober, and thank you for doing your ninth step. Oh, no. So right away, I'm like, you got clean too? And he's like, no, my dad, no. No, I'm still doing my thing. He said his dad was 35 years clean in Florida. And I was like, wow. And his dad had made amends to him. And I was like, wow, small world. And those are the experiences, some of the experiences I had. There were other ones with the amends process. You know, I like in the big book how it breaks it down into all different types and gives us so many directions. But one of the greatest gifts is, and probably I failed to talk about this in the last couple of weeks, was the promises. There's so many promises that are in that book. And that was the one thing that when I was going through the book with my sponsor, I would see these promises after each step. Just tons of promises. You know, a new freedom and a new happiness. You'll not regret the past. You wish to shut the door on it. You'll know a new peace. Peace. I will know peace. But don't you understand, my life is a disaster right now. I don't know if I'm going to see my son, blah, blah, blah. But I was at peace. I can honestly say I was at peace. And it was right. And those promises started to come. And as I'm making the amends process and I'm going through it, I'm making them pretty quickly. He's taking me through the other three steps, 10, 11, and 12. We're reading them out of the big book. And to be honest with you, the freedom that I got from making those amends whether it would be to my mother, whether it be my brother, even though I was still close with them, and we still had a good relationship, this thing that I've just processed, that I got to this point, had given me this God consciousness now. That little voice in my head, that every time I saw my brother, that every time I saw my mother, what are the things that are going on in my head? What did I do to them? And that's what it's doing, and it's playing on me every time I see them. But now I go and make these amends, and I straighten out the wreckage of the past, and I don't feel that way anymore. That's another sense of freedom that I get, because I don't have to. I used to drive down a different block that my ex-wife lived on, because I was worried, what if she sees me? You know, is she mad at me? Does she hate me? It's gone. It's over. I cleared that up, you know, by going through this process. And of course, as we get into the next three steps, we also realize that it's a continuing thing, that it's not something that we just, we do, it's over. You know, these steps I have to try to live and put into practice in my daily life, and I do fall short, you know. That's why I could always ask in that seven-step prayer, God could remove these defects of character, because they do stand in my way of God and my fellows. I am useless to anyone. When I'm filled with all of these defects of character, I am no good to myself. It makes me sick. I'm no good to my family. I'm no good on the job. I'm just, you know, I'm just a wreck. I'm a train wreck. And the more I sit with those things, the sicker I get. And I need to be free. I need to constantly ask God to free me from these things, because they will make me sick. And you know, I always say all the time, you know, I could work these steps in reverse too. You know, I can get back to step one and think, oh, I have all the power, and what's the next step? Drinking. And I don't never want to go back there again. And I always share that when I do this meeting, if there is anybody new in here, and it sounds like I'm talking a lot of gibberish, because I know I used to sit in meetings when guys were talking about steps and big books and feelings, and I'd be like, what? You know, what are you talking about? That's why this is a great meeting, because there's a lot of people in here. I see there was a ton of hands up that are willing to sponsor people and willing to take you through this work. And one thing that helped me the most was I tried to really stay on the step I was on at the moment. I didn't try to look a lot of, you know, first of all, oh, the tradition. First thing, I was like, wait, no, that's not it. First thing I try to look at is, I work with guys, and we're in step one, and he's like, I don't know, I'm going to make amends. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. We didn't get turned the page yet, you know. We're like 70 pages away from that. So that's what I try to do, and I try to stay in the step. Let the steps, I always say this all the time, let the steps do their job, because they will. All you required of us, or required of me at the time, I should say, is to be honest, open, and willing. Those three things, and work these steps with your sponsor. You're on step two, you're on step two, you're on step three, you're on step three. You know, I worked with guys through this big book, and I remember one guy in particular, he said he's got this ski trip, they're drinking, they're doing, we didn't even open a book yet. I said, well, give me a chance, give God a chance, let's start working these steps, and that's months away. Let's see where you are then. Trip came, he went, he was spiritually fit, he was sponsoring guys at the time. He had said, Nick, I had the greatest time I ever had. That's one of my character defects is expectations, you know, setting the cart before the horse. You know, I'm over here. I didn't even get there yet, you know. I played the whole movie through my head, beginning, middle, end, and the movie hasn't even started yet. They didn't even go through the previews, and I'm at the end of the movie, you know. So I hope tonight anything I shared about may have helped someone, and I'm going to end it at that, and that's enough for me. Thank you.